From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 14th day of June 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. That's globalanalytics.biz. And a bit later in the program, Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribulls' Eric Snodgrass will be here to take a look at the weather forecast. Along the way, we'll check in on some webinars that both the Farm Doc Daily team will be hosting next week. That'll be Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. and on Monday evening at 6 p.m. The folks over at Purdue will host a webinar. Each of them will try to address marketing options for producers and the prevent plant decisions that they're making, not for corn anymore, most likely, but for soybeans. You can stay with us for that right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. And don't forget that Commodity Week comes up today as well. Our panelists recorded last night included Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, July corn finished 11 cents higher at $4.53. December at 463.5, up 7.75. The March at 467.5, that is, up 6.5 cents. And next year's July at 468, 4.5 cents higher. July soybeans 8.75 higher, finished at $8.96. November at 9.23.5, up 8.25. And January soybeans 8.25 higher for next year at 9.35. The July there at 9.52, up 3.5 cents. The bean oil futures 41 cents lower at 27.61. The bean meal up $1.80 at 3.23.50. Wheat futures in the July soft red up 3 cents at 5.38.5. The hard red July at 4.76.25, 8 cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago June at 108.77.5. Down 27.5. The August 45 lower at 104.27.5. August feeder 70 cents lower at 135.52.5. And September down 70 cents at 135.80. Lean hogs June contract at $79.37.5. Up 15 cents in July, $2.25 lower at $81.35. Now joining us to help take a look at these numbers and make some sense of what it means in the marketplace is Mike Zuzlow. He's at globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us for Friday.
Todd, great to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with this week because it's been a pretty interesting week, and we've had two, maybe 3 days that really moved the corn market a whole lot higher and broke into some new highs, frankly.
Yeah, and I don't think we would have gotten that without the help of the USDA and the weather model maps and the actual rainfall totals this week. And what I mean by that is soybeans came in and really added to the desire by corn traders and kind of giving the corn traders the green light to go ahead and keep buying, especially after pretty much all three of the major grains, wheat, corn, and beans, found technical support after testing some trend lines and testing some key lows that many of us in the market were looking at. And I think the other thing too, Todd, needs to be mentioned as well so that we don't lose sight of what really is driving this bus. Is the wheat market once again. It did have a tougher day today, in part because the dollar started to take off and started to go up towards 2-3 week highs. But for the week, the July soft red wheat was able to close up 6.9%, even with today's trade. And that compares to the December corn of up 6.8%, November beans up 4.6%. So you had several things come in. Lastly, I think many of us know about this at this point. I haven't listened to the daily commentary this week that much at all, but if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. The Eastern Corn Belt cash market is tightening substantially. We saw that in Burns Harbor last week with the basis jumping. Elevator client in Toledo, Ohio told me this week early on that corn was really trying to be pulled from pretty much any direction to meet livestock and ethanol demand needs, mainly focused in northeastern Illinois, northwestern Indiana, all the way over into northwestern and northeastern Ohio, Indiana as well. So along that Great Lake, along Lake Michigan. And I had heard today from a client down by Springfield, Jacksonville, that Naples was even trying to pull corn probably towards that direction as well by trying to get some 18 crop out of farmers' bins.
Yeah, all of those places are in the target area for the heaviest rain. We'll hear that from Eric Snodgrass in just a bit. That'll be coming over the weekend and then over the next 10-day period. And he's talking, I think, 4 to 6 inches of rainfall. So we'll hear more from him about that. And that'll keep what few planters actually had been rolling out of the field again, and they'll probably just be done. Because you mentioned wheat, and usually we deal with soft red here, and you suggested that it really needs to be in that spot, condition of soft red winter wheat will be important on Monday's report. And also, it looks like that'll have to be used as feed wheat in parts of these eastern Corn Belt areas, I would think. There should be a lot of push to the upside maybe on that marketplace. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more of a headwind because we are, after all, coming into harvest, but I don't think it's going to be the traditional headwind we faced with harvest pressure. What I mean by that is that Kansas State has been doing a really terrific job of keeping updates on the hard red wheat crop. I'm guessing the soft red wheat crop is in almost the same, pun intended, boat as the hard red wheat, that you're literally seeing fields die from too much rain. So the quality issue, the supply competition issue, is not as dramatic, or I don't think will be as dramatic, I should say, as what we're used to facing in this time period. I did notice that Hutchinson, Kansas, you know, a key area of livestock feeding, the hard red wheat was 10 under the July at 467 today. Corn in the same location was 20 under the July at 433. So hard red wheat will be fed aggressively. I would assume that what you're saying is absolutely right. If the disease or rust issues don't pose a problem, that soft red wheat will be a lot easier to get a hold of than corn in the next 30 to 60 days. And, you know, really what this week showed us, Todd, between the two questions you've asked me, is this is more about supply than it is demand. We have some real demand issues on our hands with China wanting to move and maybe even cancel soybean demand from the United States because of their pig problems. And you also have demand issues potentially with President Trump and the president of China, Xi, not really wanting to meet at this point at the G20 meeting from the latest report. So these demand issues just didn't hit or stick into the market. We're still trading very much supply, as you say.
So we're in a supply issue, and it's sort of all over the place. We do have, as we mentioned, the soft red winter wheat, and it'll be a supply side that ends up being feed wheat, quite likely, and that'll put pressure on the marketplace, as you explained. However, there just won't be a lot of grain around to feed, period, it looks like to me.
No, and I think this makes the June stocks report probably more important than the June acreage report when it comes to the standpoint of what kind of pullback we could expect in the markets if people are still wanting to buy into this market and haven't yet. And livestock feeders, if they hadn't done anything back in March, April, or May, what kind of opportunity can that give them? And, it, you know, usually the June stocks report for me is not that important, but it is going to be similar to what we had back in 95 and 96. We need the old crop now to make up for the new crop. One last thing that I'll throw real quickly. I told every client I've talked to this week, they've asked, is there any change between being long corn and short beans in my methodology in the long term? And I would say no, because unlike the corn, we don't see a lower demand picture other than this feed issue that we're talking about because of the price of corn going up and wheat being a temporary competitor, but it's not going to be as big a competitor as usual, as I said. So I still can't get a bead, though, on the demand side for soybeans. So while we talk about yield going down in beans, I think we got to talk about that 1.95 billion bushel export number going down substantially as well.
Any reason the producers would want to sell old crop corn at this point?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think this is where the cash market is providing an opportunity. But I would also say that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, you probably will have, if this is a supply-driven market, you'll probably have the upside potential within range. We don't know what it is. I mean, if you drew a swing objective off the May 17th low to the May 31st high in lead month corn, that's $1.025. If you plug that into the low we just made this week of, or late last week of 408.25, you're talking about a 510 lead month corn price potentially. So that I would say, be careful about how much you sell at each leg up. And if you do start to sell, be open to the idea of getting some reownership in the new crop so that you have something on the books in case there's an early freeze or something like that.
Right. So you're suggesting it's possible to go ahead and do both old and new crop. I was looking at bids just before we went on the air, and it seemed like, well, you know, if you came through that $4 area and you made some new crop sales, maybe you've made some old crop sales, it might be we're at, what, 435, 440, 450, something like that, probably for a lot of cash sales, I would think, at this point.
Yeah, I think I probably said it wrong. I apologize. Let me clarify. If you sell, I do like selling the old crop here with the basis pull, but I would reown it in new crop.
Oh, okay. All right.
In case we had
I see.
Reason.
You're not selling new crop. You want to re... I see. I got it.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
it. That is entirely different. Dude, that's way different. That's all right. It's a good thing that I didn't understand in that case.
I hope there's no one in the ditch right now.
No, probably not. Probably not. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, we do have a safe haven play in the dollar going on, and I was really hoping we wouldn't get there. So that's something that we really do have to keep our eyes on, because at some point in time, we're going to have to come back and deal with these demand issues. And obviously, on the weekends, we do get a lot of Twitter feeds and things like that that kind of disrupt the early part of the trading week. But I'm going to stay mainly focused on the emergence numbers, the planting numbers, and most importantly, the crop conditions numbers to see if USDA is picking up any declining crop conditions at this point or not.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Analytics, not biz. On this Friday afternoon, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien and Agrible. Thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, as always, I love talking weather. So we certainly got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, we do. And I wish you had a better story to tell, but I don't think that's really the case, is it?
Yeah, you know, we'd like to get into a pattern where we would just be getting some regular rainfall. Maybe just one day a week, maybe 2 days a week, where we're going to bring in some precip, giving us anywhere between, you know, 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain, and then five to six nice sunny days that are in the middle to upper 80s and overnight lows in the 60s. Right now, wouldn't that be perfect if I could just dial that up for you know, all the way until, I don't know, November?
can I just order that?
Yeah. But you know, we need that kind of weather to kind of, I don't want to say salvage, but to honestly salvage what we've got going right now with just the incredible delays due to weather this year. And unfortunately, we've got rain to our west right now, and what we're seeing setting up in the pattern is a trough that's going to be kind of hanging out in the north central plains over the next 10 days or so. And it's interesting because when we watch this pattern, the trough is actually retrograding. It's a bit of a longer wave pattern, and sometimes those move west instead of east. Now, I'm not saying our weather is going to be coming from the east, but what I'm saying is that the bigger pattern is kind of shoving itself back to the west a little bit. Now, what does that mean? That means that for the foreseeable future, and I say that, I'm talking maybe your next 10 days or so, the chances of us having days where we're above average on temperatures, where we're getting into the middle and upper 80s, that's very, very slim. More than likely, we'll see a lot of 70s as our temperatures. Now, if this would have been, you know, a normal June, we'd be like, oh, well, that's fine. You know, get sunshine in, you know, a little bit of rain, we'll do perfectly fine. But we're in a situation where we've got to play major, major catch-up. A year ago right now, when we look at our way we've kind of accumulated grain to grita units, we were way ahead. You know, after that slow April, May and June came in as almost like a blast furnace and got us really going. Well, this year, we don't have that. We're actually still behind on our grain to grita units across much of the Corn Belt. And as a consequence, we're always going to be playing catch up. And the other thing, too, is we need rain. We need to keep getting it, believe it or not, to help this out. But the rain that's coming in over the next 24 hours, got multiple chances across Illinois. Gosh, this will be starting maybe late tonight, but all Saturday we have a high probability of rainfall. And again, that might even culminate in some nasty storms on Saturday. We'll have to watch that very carefully. But if I just tell you, next 10 days, they see a stripe that goes from Missouri all the way to Ohio. And some pockets in there might pick up an additional, no joke here, another 4 to maybe 6 inches of rainfall. So the eastern corn belt that's been struggling, that has been cool lately and will continue to be cool, they're about to get a whole bunch more rain. So if there was any last ditch effort to get planted, and as we're trying to get this soybean crop in, if we can, Mother Nature is saying, well, your next 10 days are not looking to be the best across a pretty big stripe of the corn belt, again, from Missouri all the way to Ohio. So yeah, that's what I've got here in the near term.
That's just not a good pattern at this point, I suppose.
No, I would much rather see things shaping up like they might at the end of the month. So we are watching very carefully, kind of getting to that fourth week of June, the very beginning of July, with that retrograding pattern. We could take the heat out of California and suppress it with a pretty sizable ridge. So we haven't heard, they've had some extreme heat in the Central Valley, 105 degree days there. Well, if they get this trough, what that allows to happen is basically the midsection of the country starts to build in a ridge. It's just a normal wavelength of the flow pattern of the atmosphere. Now, we would love that, to get some of that heat in here to maybe start to catch up stuff. And I've now seen it for the last 3 or 4 model runs. So that's at least a glimmer of hope as we progress toward the end of the month. But I'm very worried about this crop being so susceptible to anything other than perfect weather. You know, when crops have a good start, they tend to be more resilient toward adverse weather throughout the season. I think this one's going to be just a bit more vulnerable. So we're going to have to be very careful that we don't bring in a flash drought situation at some point as we move through the month of July. That's a real concern I have right now.
What do the rest of the growing areas in the Northern Hemisphere look like at this point?
Yeah, well, there's going to be a developing story, I think, coming out of the Russian wheat belt with time here. So I'm talking really about that part of Russia, but Kazakhstan, also eastern Ukraine, in that region. And why I think there's going to be a story is that they started off the season with decent moisture, but because of the highly amplified pattern over the U.S., that same pattern translates across the Atlantic Ocean. And they've been seeing above average temperatures for a while now, sometimes 10 to 15 degrees warmer than normal. And it's forecast again over the next 15 days to be much drier than average. And so that's a region where, as we, you know, we're planting one crop and getting another one out, the wheat coming out and the corn and soybeans going in, we need to keep an eye on them because it could become part of our weather story here in the United States with our markets. I guess about the only other region to think about, you know, it would be over in China. And China's got two big growing areas for corn and soy. That would be just south of Beijing, a little bit west of there, but then again, north and east of Beijing. And those two areas, the northeast quadrant, I don't have much of an adverse story to tell, but the southern part of that has been dry and is forecast to stay dry. So there is, there's some concern about what's going on in those two other places here in the Northern Hemisphere. We're watching carefully, but certainly Central Europe and Western Europe, including UK, have been very, very wet as of late. So it's been a highly amplified pattern, and it is not one where the whole world is able to make grain this year.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. And we're now joined by the director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture over at Purdue University. His name's Jim Mentert. And just like the folks here in Illinois and across, I'm sure, the whole of the land-grant system in the Midwest, everybody's been working really hard to get good information out on prevented planting and market analysis. And you folks, Mr. Mentert, have an outlook coming up on Monday evening. This is at 6 o'clock Eastern, so 5 o'clock our time. And folks can find it on the Center for Commercial Ag website. That's ag.purdue.edu. Can you tell me what you got happening in that webinar?
So we're going to start off by providing a review of the outlook. Of course, USDA recently came out with their updated WASD estimates the other day. Monday afternoon, we're going to get a new crop progress report. And we're going to start talking about what are the implications of the pretty large prevented planting numbers, both on the corn and potentially on the soybean side. What are the implications for the outlook? What does that look like? What does that do to the supply-demand balance? And then we're going to start talking about what are the implications with respect to people that are looking at taking prevented planting on soybeans. And, you know, you've probably looked at the forecast as much as I have, Todd. The weather forecast for a good bit of the Corn Belt next week looks very wet, and that could make making planning progress next week pretty difficult and puts a lot of people in a difficult situation with respect to making decisions about what to do with those remaining acres.
How do they register for this particular webinar? Do they need to register? Do they just get themselves logged into it? What happens?
So if you go to our website, and the easiest way to find us is in your favorite search engine, just type in Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and that should pop us up. And then when you get there, right on the homepage, there'll be a spot where it would be real obvious. You can just click on that. It'll take you to a registration page, and we would like you to register. And then we'll send you a link to actually view the webinar live. And if for some reason you're not able to view it live, the day after, we always send out a reminder with the details, and you can actually watch a recorded version on our YouTube channel. And we also make available the slides that we use during the course of the webinar if you want to view those in a little more detail. So just type in Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture in your search engine, and you should find our homepage and go from there.
Again, the Purdue University webinar is at 6 o'clock on Monday evening. That's in the Eastern time zone. If you're here in Illinois or going to the West, that'll be at 5 o'clock. And you can sign up. Just search for the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue, and you'll find a great big banner there for that Monday evening webinar. Don't forget that the University of Illinois and the FarmDoc Daily team has been doing webinars as well. You'll find them on the Illinois Soybean Association website, the Illinois Corn Growers website, and of course the FarmDoc Daily website. There will be another webinar from the FarmDoc Daily team at 8 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday morning. Hey, Jim, thanks so much, and good luck on your evening event on Monday.
Thank you, Todd.
Jim Mentert is the director for the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University. Up next, we'll check the weekend weather forecast from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute.
From the State Climatologist Office for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute, this is Brian Kirshner. This last week, Illinois experienced several intervals of seasonably cool temperatures and a welcome stretch of relatively drier weather. In fact, lows early Thursday and Friday morning for multiple stations in northern and central Illinois remained in the mid and upper 40s, with highs Thursday afternoon in northern Illinois only reaching into the 60s. Unfortunately, a return to an active weather pattern is anticipated, as modeled precipitation estimates from the National Weather Service forecast an additional 1 to 3 inches of rainfall across the state over the next 7 days, with locally higher amounts expected. Currently, the heaviest rainfall is forecast to occur in the southern half of the state. Looking ahead, the Climate Prediction Center's 6 to 10-day outlook is favoring increased probabilities for wetter-than-average conditions statewide, along with increased probabilities of cooler-than-average conditions, especially toward northwestern Illinois. In the near term, expect seasonable temperatures this weekend, with highs in the 70s and 80s, and lows generally in the 50s and 60s. Active weather will bring multiple chances for showers and storms Friday night through Sunday morning, with probabilities continuing into the start of the week for localities south of I-70. This is Brian Kirshner from the State Climatologist Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You have a great weekend. Be safe if you're still pushing along trying to get some things done out on the farm. Do visit our website as well, willag.org, willag.org. And for all kinds of information from the agricultural economist here at the University of Illinois, you can always visit the FarmDoc Daily website. Not only the Ag Econ stories are posted there, but also some of the crop sciences stories. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report for June the 14th.